This is Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. How much do we love the fact that it's football? But I have to tell you something. You got this week's, and then you got 2 weeks from now, and that's it. Now, they're going to tell you some garbage about Orlando. I mean, if you were going to the Pro Bowl and they were going to send you and your whole family to Hawaii, but they want to send you to Orlando, I don't think so. I'm like, I think I would back up on this and not do that. That doesn't even interest me, but I can't believe it. We have this. I've got this Philadelphia that we kind of like. I have to give you that. But this Minnesota team just freaks you out. And I'll tell you what, I was watching when Diggs came down. It was only that one guy that, what's his name, that whatever, and they're all like, he's all right, so you got lost. It doesn't matter. But I was looking at this guy that was way over, like halfway over, and he was coming down with the ball, and then he starts running. I'm thinking to myself, shouldn't there have been another guy there? I mean, they did a great thing, and we saw it, and it was great. And good for Minnesota. And I'm still not buying, what's his name, Folks? What's his name? Foles. I keep calling him Folk, but it's Foles. Maybe next week I'll get it. I mean, I'm just, you know, he did well. I got to give him all that. I got to give you all that. And the other one is Jacksonville at the Patriots. And it's funny, when this happened, I thought, okay, well, you know, Jacksonville is not going to the, and somehow the Patriots, which I never thought would get here, it's going to be the Patriots. And I don't know, do you like Minnesota? You like, I'm talking to my lame-ass producer who doesn't do anything. Do you like Minnesota or you like Philly in this?
I like Minnesota.
Why? Something about that. They're really good. But the one thing that I loved was this thing about Philadelphia. I'll be with you in a minute. But that Philadelphia where they never let anybody in the last 2 minutes of a game, ever? Ooh, I kind of like that. Jacksonville's going to play the Patriots. Don't get excited. You know what I mean? Let's all do that. I think that's all probably going to happen there. That'll be all right. So, you know, I'm sure you're excited about Jacksonville, and this is a great thing, and I think it's great that it's in the Patriots, but if it was in Jacksonville, I'd still feel the same way. I never thought they'd be there again, but they are back there again. We have to do things coming up, and I have to talk to Christine Brennan from USA Today, PBS, at CNN, everything in the whole wide world, but we have to talk to her because she does go to the Olympics. And so I said, let me call her right now so we can talk a little bit about it. And with the iTanya thing, we got to talk a lot about that because I don't know about you, but like they're making her like some big star and she's not anything at all. I don't even know what that's all about. Let's go talk to Christine because we love her here on the Babe Show.
Things are great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm thinking that I have to talk to you about so much about the Olympics and things like that. And then I thought, well, we have this other thing that we have to talk. Let's just talk about the iTanya thing. I was doing something. I was eating a burger or something. I looked up and I saw her on Access Hollywood. And then they had her at the Golden Globes. So I'm like, okay, what do you think about this?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts, as you can imagine, because I covered every preposterous minute of that, babe, from January 6, 1994, the attack on Nancy Kerrigan, all the way through to the end of February 1994 in Norway. And I was in Boston and Portland and everywhere in between. And, you know, I, if Hollywood wants to make you feel sorry for Tanya, they have every right to do that. But facts are facts, and I am happy to talk about them. And bottom line is that Tanya was involved in the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. And the movie talks about, I've seen it twice, the movie talks about a letter writing campaign to scare Nancy and threaten her. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that. But I do remember they talked about killing Nancy Kerrigan, duct taping her over her mouth and other things. Thankfully, they didn't do that. This was a game that couldn't shoot straight, these knuckleheads.
Yeah, right.
Thankfully, by the time they attacked Nancy, they're missing her knee. And it's the most famous bruise in sports history. But they could have, in addition to killing her, they could have also shattered her kneecap. And of course, there would have been no Tanya Nancy because you wouldn't have had Nancy at the Olympics. So, you know, we laugh and there are some laugh out loud moments in the movie. But wow, The fact that Tanya is somehow trying to Hollywood rehabilitating Tanya Harding, you know, I'm happy to be the naysayer and talk about the facts, because it's just, to me, that's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, one of the things, I think we all saw it, and she brought her up in Allison Janney, and I have to tell you, I thought Allison Janney, I haven't really seen the movie, but I've seen a lot of it, but I think she's terrific in that. Allison Janney is in that. But she brought her up and acted like she was a big star, and then I said, you know, I was having a burger or something last week, and I looked over in the TV, and it was Access Hollywood, and she was on something else, and I'm like, I don't see her as a good guy. I see her as a bad guy.
Absolutely. I don't know what Allison Janney was thinking. I actually wrote a piece. Folks can find it all on Twitter. I've written a lot. I wrote a column. I wrote a piece. You know, mm-hmm. Allison Janney, how about this, babe? You know, the irony of this. So the Golden Globes are Me Too. Everyone's wearing black. About assaults on women and attacks on women, harassment of women. And Allison Janney decides this is the time to praise and thank Tanya Harding for letting them tell her story. The woman who was involved in the attack on another woman happened to be Nancy Kerrigan. I mean, what are the odds that this would happen? What irony? It's just absurd. There's also this notion that Tanya got a raw deal. Tanya got the shaft.
No,
you know, right. She didn't go to one Olympic Games. She went to two Olympic Games. That's the U.S. Figure Skating Association, and the judges sending her to not one, but two. She was lucky to be born in 1970, which means when the Olympics went off cycle and they got the 92 Winter Games and then the 94 Winter Games, two Olympics within 2 years, only one group of people in history will ever get that. And that was Nancy, born in 69, Tanya, born in 70. Tanya had incredible good luck. And the idea, well, they didn't like her, so they didn't give her. What didn't she get? Two Olympics. She should have won two Olympic medals. She was that good. She was that great of an athlete. She squandered and frittered all of her opportunities away. Chain-smoking asthmatic, one of my favorite adjectives in the whole thing. Chain-smoking asthmatic Tanya Harding, overweight, out of shape, jet-lagged. She's lucky there wasn't social media, because she would have gotten killed on Twitter by people saying, I cannot believe you are giving away these opportunities by all of these terrible training techniques and showing up late to the 92 Olympics. Who does that? Shows up 3 days before the competition, says they're not jet lagged, bombs in the competition, finishing fourth, and then, oh, by the way, says they're jet lagged. I mean, this is Tanya Harding, folks, and the idea of anything but that, right, babe. I'm proud to be a journalist reminding people of the facts.
Well, and one of the things is, you know, the brother, I mean, like you said, they were guys that couldn't shoot straight, but I mean, I don't, you know, they sort of, I think you're right. They put her up on this kind of pedestal. And I'm like, you know what? When it comes down to it, you were up to your ass in this, too. They may say not, but we know you're up to your ass in it.
Oh, well, again, she at the time pleaded guilty to hindering the prosecution of felony. And that's when she had to do hundreds of hours of community service and was kicked out of U.S. figure skating. Of course, she was kicked out of U.S. figure skating. She was involved in the attack on an opponent and had her national title from she had two national titles. One was taken away. The other she still had, the 94 national title, because of her involvement in the attack on a competitor. Something that would happen today. Probably she'd get everything taken away today in our society now, where we kind of just get rid of all of it. So she's lucky she did this back then and not now. Then again, she called a U.S. figure skating judge, babe, to get the address and training times of Nancy Kerrigan and Cape Cod. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't born yesterday.
Right.
She then gives that to Jeff. So that's the plan. They had to go to Cape Cod and attack Nancy. And then, and there's a laugh out loud moment of, instead of Tony Kent Arena, she writes Toonie Can, which is beyond hilarious and a totally true story. And that is just craziness, and it is in the movie. And then, of course, her admission on ABC last week on the 2020 two-hour special that I was honored to be on as well, mm-hmm. where she says that she did overhear Jeff and those guys talking about taking someone out. And, of course, that someone had to be Nancy. There's no one else.
Right.
Michelle Kwan was 13 at the time. So, yeah, there you go. I mean, she knew. I've always been convinced she knew, and she admitted last week that she knew. So, yeah, no sympathy for her, for me.
I want to get to the Olympics, but let me just ask you. I had this conversation not that long ago with a friend of mine, and we were talking about the Me Too and what that all means. And I think we've talked before about, like, whether or not people even want to work with you anymore. I wonder if it's getting to be like that. But one of the things that she and I were talking about, and she said, if something happened to me or to you, she said, those people are retired, so what's the point of it now? And I thought, you know, I guess she's really right in that, because you can feel this way or that way. But she said, it doesn't really matter. They're retired, so who the hell cares? What do you think about that?
Well, I know. I've thought of this, too, because I have, three, four, five stories as well. And I looked up a couple of these men the last month or two, just as we've all been talking about it. And I've never revealed their names. I did tell some of the stories in my book, Best Seat in the House, but never did give the names. And I realized one of the men now is dead. I found out that he had died a couple of years ago. And then the other two are long since retired. And then another incident, which I was reminded of, there were a couple just words and terrible words, but nonetheless, just words, nothing physical. And he is still floating around, but in general has nowhere near the power that he once had. And so, I mean, if I were going to reveal, say, his name, what I would do is call him first and explain that his behavior was horrible, which some of these guys, you figure they probably have thought back and are worried that you might say something.
Right.
But in the case of, and again, for people who are saying, why don't you speak out? What if he's doing stuff? Well, this was in the 80s.
Exactly.
No one wanted to hear us, and we didn't want to derail our own beautiful careers at that point. So you just kept it quiet. And now we have a different world, and thank goodness we do. I'm thrilled that we're here now. But I agree with you. I think for these retired guys, these long ago stories, it's just not worth it. And I would have talked to each one before I would even do it. And I don't even want to go there. And as I said, one of them is dead. And obviously, that ends that. So I agree with you on that.
Okay. Now, how many Olympics has this been for you? Because it's coming up. First of all, I got to ask you, a million things, but was it just in Seoul, Korea, not that long ago? And now we have it in South Korea again.
Well, that shows how old we are, babe, because that Seoul Olympics was 1988, only 30 years ago. So it's been a while.
This 30 is years ago. I thought it was like 2001 or something.
Well, it was Ben Johnson beating Carl Lewis getting the gold medal, and Greg Louganis hitting his head, and the U.S. men's basketball team losing, and all kinds of other stuff. Flojo. A long time ago, 1988, and I covered those games. And so 18 Olympics in a row, hard to believe. Winter and summer, starting in LA in '84, all the way to the present. And I'm honored. I really feel lucky to do 18. So it's hard to believe. I started when I was in kindergarten, and here we are.
Let me ask you about this. I mean, we've got to ask: is he in the mood to like nuke them? I don't think so at all. But that seems to be one of the things. But the other thing is, are we going to know these people now? I mean, you always see Shaun White there when it comes to the Winter Olympics, but are we going to know these people at all that are going to be skating? Because everybody will be all crazy for skating. And I love it because it's somebody like me who doesn't know a damn thing about skating. I mean, the only time they put me in the hockey rink in the back because I couldn't move around. I don't know anything about this, but by the time it comes, I can tell you all kinds of wonderful things. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, we do care about these sports, the sports of ice and snow. We really don't. And then all of a sudden, for 2 weeks, we do. And I think that's part of the allure of the Olympics. You get to a situation where you are, I think in many ways, these athletes never overstay their welcome. They are, they drop into our lives for 16 days and then they're gone. And I think that makes it fun. They don't overstay that welcome. And so, yes, I think Nathan Chen, the figure skater, he's got a chance for the Olympic gold medal, 18 years old, great, great young man. You're going to see, of course, Lindsey Vonn barrel down the mountain again, obviously a veteran in her 30s, fantastic story.
And she will hurt herself again. You know that. She is going to hurt herself. She always does. She always does. But go ahead.
I know she always does, but let's hope not. Michaela Schifrin, a star from Sochi, coming back again. Solemn, just a great, great skier. And one of the top names in the U.S. delegation. And, on and on it goes. Shaun White, as you mentioned, is back. And these athletes can be professional Olympians now because they are paid and sponsor money can come to them. And I think it's great. People, I run into people every now and then, oh, it's too bad we don't have amateurs left. Well, no, if we had amateurs, they'd be one and done and they'd have to go get jobs. And you'd only have rich people in the Olympics. And thank goodness these athletes can make thousands, if not millions now over the course of a career and be so successful financially as well as representing the country time and time again, which I think is wonderful.
Is Johnny Weir coming back?
Johnny Weir is going to be on the NBC broadcast, and you'll be able to.
And who's the other one? I forgot the woman's name. I forget.
Tara Lipinski.
Are they going to do it together? They're going to do it together,
though? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They'll be on the air. I won't hear them because I'll be there, so I will miss them. But they're going to be on the air, so anyone in the United States will be able to watch and listen to Johnny and Tara. And two great skaters. I covered both of them. Tara won the gold medal, improbably enough, over Michelle Kwan in 1998, 20 years ago, in Nagano. And Johnny was a great force and a several-time national champion and Olympian. So it's fun to see them have this success.
Well, as we get here, first of all, when you go there, I mean, how much time do you take before you get there? It's not like you're going to California. You got to go all the way around the world. So do you start like a week before and get used to the time and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. In fact, February 1st, I'm leaving and I land there February 2nd. And no problem at all. I'm sorry. Yeah, and by the way, when I'm saying babe, she's a fabulous sports babe.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So hi, babe. You sort of,
yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you're almost on, actually. Right? Thanks, guys. I'm back.
Absolutely. CNN. We're so damn easy. Please, I can't even tell you.
I know. You're good. You're good. So yeah. I'm leaving on the 1st. Get in on the 2nd, and so getting acclimated. The games start on the 9th, and so absolutely a trip like that, flying from DC to Seoul, and then taking the either a car or train, whatever, into the mountains. You want to give yourself plenty of time, and those are some of the lessons I've learned from my vast experience covering the Olympics.
Now, are you concerned at all about this, about him and the nuclear and all that nonsense from the guy in the North Korea? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un. Well, certainly I think all of us are concerned because of the rhetoric and the president, Donald Trump, in participating in that as well. No doubt about that. But I do think that what we're seeing is with the talk about the North Korean cheer squad being a part of this, and then now the North Korean pairs figure skaters who did qualify at something called the Nebelhorn Trophy in the fall. And if they, in fact, do come and compete, I think the game has become much safer, of course, if you've got North Koreans there and so in competing. And so I think that's the hope. And the International Olympic Committee is trying to work it to that end as well. Recently, we just heard about the South and North Korean women's ice hockey team, maybe a combined effort. Wow. Again, that will be fascinating if that happens. All of this to make it much more likely that the games will be safe, to have North Koreans on site, on the ground there. I think anyone would say that makes it less likely that he would that Kim Jong-un would do anything to jeopardize the safety of his own athletes and his countrymen and women who are at the games. And so I think that's the goal, to get the North Koreans there and have the games hopefully be as safe as possible. I'm not concerned. As a journalist, I'm going to cover it, whatever, come what may.
Right.
But yes, absolutely. I think that's, and keep in mind, they've had conventional weapons pointed at each other for 70 years, the North and the South Koreans. They don't need nuclear weapons to wipe each other out.
Yeah.
That peninsula has been at war since the Korean War and before. And in Seoul in 88, there was great concern the North Koreans would do something bad. They didn't. And I certainly hope that's the case this time as well.
You know, I have to laugh when you call yourself a journalist, which you are without a doubt. But somebody once said to me, referred to me as a journalist, and I started laughing. It's like, I make people laugh on the radio. What are you talking about? I said, I don't know how to do that. But somebody said, well, you're a journalist. And I thought, what the hell is this person even talking about? How many people are going to leave North Korea and bail out, do you think, if they can?
You mean as in defect?
Yeah, as defect, yes. Get the hell out. I would imagine they're going to be all over them, but somebody's going to get out of there.
Well, who knows? Obviously, with their families back in North Korea, that is always a deterrent. We've seen that over the years as sports was the doorway, the pathway for some to defect, including Bella Caroli and Marta Caroli, the gymnastics coaches. years ago. You've seen it with Cuban baseball players defecting when they've had a chance to come to the United States. So we'll see. I don't have any expertise in that area. But I also know that when you leave a country, you leave your family behind. And I don't know how that would work in North Korea. But you certainly wish for the best for all those folks and all those people.
You know, you just mentioned Karoly. Were they, is it because they came from Russia and they did things a certain way and now they're saying, oh, they were mean to us? Well, yeah, they were mean to you. They've been mean for a long time.
Well, the Karolins, of course, are a lot of people asking questions about what's going on in the wake of this horrifying story. Now, Simone Biles speaking out as well, Dr. Yeah. Nasser, and over 140 gymnasts sexually abused and assaulted by the doctor who they trusted. I mean, it's just a horrible story. And the Karolins, Marta Karoly, leading the Olympic team the last few Olympics, and before that, Bella Karoly. So no one knows. They've said they didn't know anything, but you know, USA Gymnastics is just a horrible story. So, yeah, the Karolys, though, I've always enjoyed Bella Karoly and Marta. But as a journalist, I would absolutely be asking them questions about this absolutely despicable and reprehensible and horrifying story of the sexual assault and abuse of women who were competing and winning medals for the United States, as well as just other gymnasts in general, 140 now plus who, and of course, Nasser's going to be in jail forever. So just an incredible black eye for the U.S. Olympic effort, USA Gymnastics, such a popular sport in the Summer Olympics, and the Karolys being a huge part of it. So they defected, and I'm glad they did. Now they're in the news, obviously, and being you know, looked at in an entirely different way.
Let's go back, if we will, to doing the Dolphins, to doing the Washington Redskins, and then were you always into skating? I mean, you grew up in Toledo, so I figured maybe you were. Or was this, hey, go cover the skating, and is that how it all started? Or were you like, oh, yeah. I like skating. I can deal with all of that. You know, I'd be like, okay, I don't know what they're doing, but I'd do it. But I wonder if that's how you got to the point that is really, I'll never forget something you said to me. And this is, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but we've known each other more than a couple of days. You once said to me, that, you know, Inside the Edge changed your life completely. And I wonder.
Oh, it did.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. It's like where you said, oh, I'll go. Was it like that? Or did they say, you're going to go? It changed your life from being all the stuff that you did in football and then bingo, all of this happened for you.
Yes. Well, covering the Olympic Games, as I have for all these years, as we mentioned, especially as the Washington Post Olympics writer, summer games, you needed to be an expert on gymnastics, Greg Louganis in diving, track and field, swimming, et cetera. And then the Winter Olympics, you had to be an expert in figure skating. So that was really it. And then just getting to cover this sport and realizing the drama and the amazing storylines, whether it was Katarina Witt, whether it was Brian Boitano, Battle of the Bryans, Debbie Thomas, you name it, just fascinating. So that's really how it started. I mean, skated a little in the backyard in Toledo, but when we freeze our patio, but nothing, you know, no, I mean, I'm 6 feet tall, so I was never going to be doing any triple lutzes or single lutzes, but as a journalist covering the sport, there's just nothing like the drama in figure skating, and we see it time and time again, which is pretty great.
How much do we like Christine Brennan? We always have, and she always gives you such good information. And I have to tell you, I'm not buying this. I, Tanya, they're all like, oh, it's so wonderful. None of that happened. You know, it's a big stupidness. I haven't done that, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I'm not going to South Korea. You know what else I was thinking about? Not that this has anything to do with it, but you know, they're in Minnesota, and Minnesota thinks that they're going to be there and be wonderful. Isn't that where the Super Bowl is? And can I just tell you something? All right, let's do this. As you know, I have a tendency to watch a little TV, unlike other people. Although I'm supposed to see I, Tanya, it's supposed to be pretty good, but I don't really. But I have to tell you, I'm looking at the, we have these odd things. Do you have Spectrum too? Do you have it on it? Do you get that 600? Because I go to 605, and 605 is like, create for PBT for PBS, but if you go to 606 and 613 and all that, what the hell is going on with that? Because I'm kind of like, okay, let's just find out what it is. And so I'm like, bastard, you're not giving me. They have something called Get TV. They have like bad TV from, I saw Roy Rogers. I don't know what I was doing up at 8 o'clock. You know, I went back to bed, but I turned it on and Roy Rogers was on and Dale all jazzed up with the fur and all, and not the fur, but the fringe and all that stuff. She was, and you know, he's walking around with all that stuff and the rest of the people all very cowboyish. And I think it was in black and white. You know what I'd like to see is the Cisco Kid. I think I would like that. I just wrote down Cisco Kid. Because I used to like that. Is he the one that I liked in the Cisco Kid and then the other guy was with him? I should maybe refer to these things before I start talking on the radio with it. Because I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But I had a little cup one time and it was the Cisco Kid and whoever the hell that was, the other guy. And I had a little cup when I was little like that. And it's the only thing I can see. But anyway, I'm over there playing and they have Get TV and some stuff. I don't even know what it was. And I have to tell you, the more I looked at it, the more I thought, do people even care about this at all? Do they care that we're trying to find this out? Well, anyway, they have a lot of good movies that are on, but I see stuff like The Flying Nun. I'm seeing stuff like this. I see like stuff from like, it's not even the 60s. I guess it is the 60s, but it's almost like late 50s into the 60s. I mean, and they have stuff on that I didn't even see that. It wasn't even around when I was around, but if you have it, play around. Do you play with the 600? Do you think? Well, what the hell are you doing over there? Have you played? Will you go home and put on 605?
No.
Why not? But you have to go to 606 and go and see because it will make you laugh. If I could take the time to make, I don't care about this stuff. You know, I'm making this stuff up and no one cares. I keep trying to look up the channel lineup. You people by Spectrum, you suck. All I wanted to see was nobody's going to care. By the way, I'm watching TV the other day and, you know, I flip. Well, I came across something. Are you ready? Abraham Lincoln and the Zombies. And I thought, oh, maybe it's a cartoon or something. It's not a cartoon. And they're all walking around like Abraham Lincoln. And it's some kind of Confederate undead people that are after him. And I'm like, who put this together? How did it even get on TV? Abraham Lincoln and the Zombies. I have a lot of things, but I can't tell you now because I forgot the name of it and it would take me like an hour to find things. But so maybe the next time I'll actually be more on top of this than I am because I'm not, I better stop this right now. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we had a wonderful birthday party this weekend and it's Roller Girl's birthday and she has turned a big fat, what is she, 40 now? I said, I wish I was 40. But who did I sit next to with Jerry? I'm like, can I sit? And then we had people next to us. And did you see that one woman over there? I'm sure she's on one of the TVs and she's all made up and all that kind of. And she never talked. I said, what is your name? And somebody had to tell her. And I said, she never talked the whole time. And I said, does the camera go on and she talks right then and there? I don't know who she was. We talked a little bit about that, but we had a lovely time. And we went to the horse track, of which I know absolutely nothing about. And all I did is take all the money out of here. I gave it all to Roller Girl. And I said, you do whatever and bring me money whenever it comes. And so we brought money every once in a while. Did you make anything at the, no? And Melissa doesn't do any? Oh, you don't bet. Or aren't you something? How can you be up there and not bet? And the thing I turned around, it's like my head was going to spin around. I had to look at someplace else. But we went there and we had the best party. Wasn't it nice though? It was a little room up top where you do all the betting things, but you're all there and it was quite lovely. And, you know, the lovely Monica was there, who is, what, 3 feet tall? I swear to God, if you see her, and she's not a midget, but I have to remember when we had the midget guy on and I asked him, is it all right to call you midget? Let's just cough in the middle of this. But why not? Why not? But remember we had the midget people and then somebody called me up and said they want to be called little people. And I went, yeah, okay. So when they got in, I said, do you mind if we call you midget? And she said, no, that's what it is. And I said, well, they're all worried that they think I should call you little people. You call us midgets. But remember they wanted Monica to walk around with the sign because she was right at that. She was not even 5 feet tall, and they were like, she's right in the middle there, because they were like, what, like 4'9" or something like that. We were like, Monica, if you're just a little inch shorter, we could put you in this thing, and it would. Can you imagine her doing that? Oh. But we had the best time at Roller Girls Party. I have to tell you that. I mean, everybody was there. We had a great time. We played around. I won things, and now that I think of it, where's the rest of my money now that I think of it? All right, we're done with the birthday party. It's me, the fabulous sports babe.
If you know the babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.